And welcome to another episode of Untold Mysteries Out of Quarantine on bbsradio.com. My name is John Curtis from the Netherlands, and I have a special guest. We tried to reach him, and his line is still busy. We hope we have some success of having the special guest of today. That will be John Hutchinson. Most people will know him by doing a Google video search on Hutchinson effect. It's talking about anti-gravity, time distortion effect. And, John, are you on the line? Can you hear me?
I sure can hear you loud and clear.
Oh, wonderful. I was just talking about you. We're trying to reach you, but your line was busy. So I will continue my introduction about you. I was in the middle of an introduction.
Okay.
And, but I'm happy that you are online and that you are available. But I'm going to continue talking. John Hutchinson has been in many documentaries concerning on the Philadelphia experiment, concerning on altering time and space, even matter can be altered, anti-gravity effects, it's called the Hutchinson effect. He's been in the latest documentary called From Here to Andromeda from David Sirida, which I hope to do an interview in the future in depth with this very well-known researcher, David Sirida. Why is John Hutchinson for me so important? It is because when I was a very young age, I was so affected by the movie called The Philadelphia Experiment, and also felt that there must be a truth to it. This story is extremely important. Is there a connection between UFOs and time alteration and time-space alteration? And maybe John Hutchinson had some interesting insights concerning that very topic about UFOs and the effect on time-space. Welcome to the show, John Hutchinson. I am very honored to have you on the show.
Well, thank you, kind sir. It's really, for me, very happy to be on your show.
Yes, I know that you have been interviewed by me in the past on Untold Mysteries Radio for the BBS listeners. You are new. So we have a mixture of people who already know you, and we have people who don't know you. So it's kind of difficult to make a choice, but let's have a short introduction for what you can say for yourself about your life. What happened in your life that you came involved in doing research in Tesla experiments? That's what I can sum it up like. It's like continue the work of Tesla. Is that correct?
That is correct. So ever since I was a kid, I've always been interested in machinery and engineering and all of those things. So I got involved in Tesla research in the 1970s and, excuse me, then got involved in the discovery of an anti-gravity effect. A couple of scientists told me that was very important to do, and then they promoted it to the U.S. Pentagon, which provided us with funding to present a presentation to them, the Colonel John B. Alexander, then later to McDonnell Douglas's George Jack Hauck, and later on to the Canadian government, Dr. Lauren A. Kuhn and his team from Ottawa, Canada, and then later on to Germany and to Japan, and ongoing now, of course, with many television shows, which I like doing, and some offers from NASA and from the U.S. Pentagon, again. And it just goes on. It's a long story, but
yes,
it's
you
interesting.
You've been on Art Bell Show, many mainstream shows as well, and you've been approached by Fox and other big news and documentary makers. And the latest development is that you was being approached by Fox. Can you tell me about that?
Well, I have two producers. One, well, actually a lot of them, sorry to say. But happy to say, I should say, Griffin Productions, which did Beyond Invention, which is airing in the USA right now. It's a long documentary. It's about 20 minutes on me, 20 or 25 minutes extended version. That's a Discovery Channel, Science Channel. And if people can go on computer and look that one up and see when it airs. Also, History Channel, that's airing. And as well as Fox, I'm told that a friend of mine who works at Fox Studios, that he wants to put together a 22-episode TV show with me.
As Say again? How many episodes?
22 episodes.
Oh, my God.
And
wow.
My partner would be Ron Milloney of Ghost Hunters. Ron and I would be part of the show and run two seasons, and we'd be paid $100,000 per episode. We'd cover the Philadelphia Experiment, levitation, and many other things. Now, this has still been going on for a while. My producer, Robert Drake, there has presented this to the CAA, actors group, creative artists, and that. So when it gets down to signing the documents, which I hope happens soon, because it's been ongoing for quite a while.
I also remember the last time that I had you on a radio show, you talk about that maybe you disappear. You were experimenting and that you are disappearing forever.
Oh, disappeared? No, I didn't. I frightened a lot of people around here with these experiments, and they went to the news media about it. But I got an understanding mayor of New Westminster here who understands and likes what I do, actually, and supports it, so that's okay. But I've been very active in presenting smaller versions of the Philadelphia Experiment, which I got on tape, and also which I presented to Motion Picture Productions in Los Angeles. It's called Earth's Black Holes, which is on the History Channel, which is airing all around the world now, too. As well as a representative for Fox and Discovery, Paul Jastrowski of Impact Pictures, who filmed here in this May, and we got a shrinking peanut butter can on tape, as well as some other stuff floating around in here.
Wow.
And it's a very interesting documentary.
And can you tell me why it's moved to NBC? Because you talk about it's from Fox to NBC.
Oh, it's these producers are having problems trying to get it. You get a buyer. He went to Cannes Film Festival, and then he made other arrangements through NBC, actually, and they have gained an interest in this TV series. So it's what they call finding a broadcaster.
Mm-hmm.
And my other producer, Peter Von Puttkamer, sells footage to a lot of these people, and Paul is one who bought up a lot of footage, thousands of dollars worth that they sell it for, about $70 per second. And so there's a fight between the two of them, because my producer is saying, well, Paul doesn't have a broadcaster, but Paul now does, I believe, have a broadcaster with NBC. So this should be on NBC primetime.
Wonderful.
Along with that, I finished up with Nippon Television in Japan, and that show aired already October 4th or 9th, I think, this year, and airs on Golden Time, they call it, in Japan. About 20 million viewers looked at it. So one does get a lot of email that's not translated kind of thing with me here, so. But the idea is getting out a good idea, I feel, that bring out all this older technology that nobody's really knows about out into the media, and people seem to like it, so the media requests more information. And I'll produce it through the demonstrations or stock footage I have, or the mini Philadelphia experiment I did. We wanted
to. Now, when you do the experiments, sometimes you even alter matter itself. Can you explain why this is happening or why you think it's happening?
Well, it's all based on quantum physics. We get closer and closer into this, and more scientific evidence comes to the fact to support quantum physics. And the energy, like there's been a lot of news broadcasts of anti-gravity discovered, zero-point energies coming out all over the place in actual normal areas of science, and which supports my work, too. So it's in the level of quantum physics, interdimensional sciences, and that kind of area.
And the things that you discovered can be connected to the effects that worldwide people report about UFOs. The serious UFO investigators talk about weird stuff, and that correlates what you are talking about.
Well, very much so. I was also approached by a group, the RAM group, they call them, or the Temporal Knights, not Temporal Knights, but Temporal Knights. They're a group of scientists and business people that want to back-engineer alien spacecraft. And I met with, you can Google out Gordon Novel, who I met, and we started to communicate and talk and draw up plans for building a back-engineered spaceship. that is stored actually in Area 51. It sounds crazy, but this group is actually, well, such names as Mark Bush, Colonel John Alexander, and others, which I actually posted their names on my Blogspot, all of the documents.
Yes, you have a new Blogspot website.
Mm-hmm.
Can you spell slowly for the new people where they can find information on your active website?
For sure. It's http://johnkhutchison.blogspot.com. I have about 30 blogs in that whole thing there. The title of the main blog is Waiting on the Edge of Forever.
And how do you spell Hutchison for the people?
Hutchison.
Okay, for the people who want to Google you. The Hutchison effect is very famous. If you Google video it, you will see, I think, hundreds of weird experiments that have been floating around on the internet.
Lots of them. More stuff coming out all the time. I like to Google it out to see what mischief I created out there in whatever's going on. I'm surprised to find things that appear on Google search. And books. I write, like, contracts. People give me a contract to sign. They want to put me in their book. Okay, I do that. I did that with Nick Cook of Jane's Defense Weekly, his book, The Hunt for Zero Point.
He actually he had an interview with Boyd from Lockheed.
Mm-hmm.
And David Suida as well later. But what I found of interest is that this Nick Cook, who is mainstream from Jane's Defense Weekly, and he started like a skeptic, you know. He just was interested in the Edge scientist, you know, this black project. He was interested in black projects, and he stumbled up with you through someone from Lockheed.
That's right. That was Boyd Bushman of Lockheed Martin. That was way back in 2000. He actually made a TV show on that whole adventure of his, and then he bumped into Boyd Bushman. So his journey led him right here. So I met him in person, and the last contact I had with him was by email that he'd be interested in coming around to see a demonstration here of the effects, and anybody's most welcome to come to film these effects, which people love doing. And last year I was very busy with the TV people, Japan Television and China TV and National Geographic TV and Film. That's one that's out there too, airing on, I think, the National Geographic Channel, I think, or CNN, or one of those things. I don't know anything about it because I don't keep track of them, and I guess why should I? But I'm just curious sometimes what's going on out there, and I get a lot of good mail.
And my question to you is, David Suida made a documentary called From Here to Andromeda,
mm-hmm.
and you also are part of that documentary. Can you talk about that one?
Oh, for sure. David Suida actually is a good friend of mine. We met in 2000 when he presented me video footage of UFOs, and he actually got me, he knows Lisa Lyon of Coast to Coast AM. He got me on to the first time with Uncle Art, or Art Bell, I should say. And then David did another documentary with Dan Aykroyd. What's that one called? Dan Aykroyd Unplugged on UFOs.
Yes, I saw that. Wonderful.
And David interviewed me for that show also, as well as From Here to Andromeda. And it's a very good production. See, David will go on national, like Fox News, America Heartland, and he gets interviewed for a very short time, and they just cut him off. Your general kind of approach to interviewing somebody that knows about UFOs, like David does. He's well in tune to UFOs and has appeared also many times on talk radio.
I think that David Suida is one of the exceptions in ufology, that he knows what he's talking about, I guess.
Oh, he's very, yes, he does. He's well informed and was in the military contracts before he got into production. He recently moved to Sedona, Arizona.
Yes.
And I was actually to meet up with him up there, but we didn't connect. But we're always in contact. Brilliant, brilliant fellow. Very nice person.
He talked to this Bushman, Boydman, Bushman.
Boyd Bushman.
Yes. This guy, he talks about showing documents of anti-gravity machines being developed in the 50s and the 60s, and he just should have, you know, look here, yes, I know it's declassified, offense is still classified, but he somehow doesn't mind people to find out that the American government or the Black Project is talking about anti-gravity research.
That's right, he's opening up and he doesn't care anymore. He's got lawyers to help him through that, and he sends me emails. The last email was a few days ago from Boyd. He was stating about how they do actually make these back-engineered alien craft. Is they use 10 million volts at three sections of on the craft, high pressure, and that's one of the things they use at Lockheed to overcome gravity. Because they also use this kind of high voltage effects on the stealth bombers and to give it the extra wing effect and also to deflect radar. But that's what we know out here anyway. But what they do in Black Ops is way about 10 years ahead. But I get bits and pieces and sections and parts and from the guys that I used to work with or know of, and they like leaking info, so it's quite interesting. And
do you think that there is a movement within the military or within the Black Projects that are maybe fed up with the cover-up, that they actually don't mind that it's coming out?
No, they love it to come out. They hear about it on the news and that people talk about it, and some of these folks, when they retire, they start talking. Or they leak information. Even the U.S. Pentagon leaks out information once in a while. They just dump
it's
it
part somewhere. Of the preparing, I guess, that we are, you know, being confronted with the inevitable that they are here and that we actually are using their technologies.
In part, yes, I would think, because the U.S. Pentagon and all its military-industrial complex has the most advanced listening devices and monitoring equipment that is out there compared to, let's say, ham radio folks, although some ham radio folks can detect things too, which been known for quite a while. So they have the biggest radio dishes and that for detection.
Can you talk about for the new people that never heard about you, what type of experiments you have done in Canada resulting in weird stuff happening in your neighborhood and that you came in the newspapers with it?
Oh, all of that stuff, the experiments I'm doing?
Yes.
Around the neighborhood here, that people's things start floating around or melting on them in their other apartments, which caused the police to come here. And also, again, I mentioned the mayor of New Westminster was quite supportive in all of this and told city council to leave me alone, basically. And I've done a lot of, last year I did a lot of tests and demonstrations for television and news people. And this year, also for, well, as I mentioned, Paul, who now is going to be broadcasting this on NBC, we did several days of intensive experiments and got lots on tape, as well as motionpictureprod.com.
I also saw a part of the video footage that you had some green, yellowish, maybe that you created a portal, or that you actually did some beings to be seen, kind of entity-like creatures?
Yes, that was actually, that particular, I remember that, that was the 1980s when we first really got involved in this project. And these portals would open up. And that was actually luckily caught on camera, Super 8 millimeter film. And it was a portal. It encompassed me as well as everything else, and it seemed like entities were in there. And it really spooked us. And we had other encounters like that before, and we would document it or take photos of it. We just start, after a while, you become jaded, and you just think, oh, here they come again, these entity things. We start naming them, like Carl, who was a red entity that appeared in front of yet another group. Alec Sharashevsky and George Lissacase were my partners in the late 80s, and we caught a lot of stuff. And
are you not afraid that you create a tear in time and space and open up maybe a portal to another dimension, that you invite creatures that are not necessarily supposed to be here? You know what I mean?
Well, I think if if that happened, I might be running very fast. I think really nature has safeguards on a lot of things to maybe prevent that to happen.
Maybe you'll be watched by other entities. Who knows?
I think we all are getting more involved in this and all the latest documentation and scientific application, plus Department of Defense documents, which I gave to my webmaster at the www.hutchisoneffect.ca.
Yes, can you tell that slowly, because I've seen that page. It's wonderful done.
It's www.hutchisoneffect.ca.
From Canada, yeah.
On that site, we unloaded some documents from the Department of Defense on UFOs, and I have yet another document to release on that from the CIA, official documents that they didn't classify it. That's just open. It's, I think, about 6 pages, legal-length paper, and it's on analysis of parts from an exploded UFO from the Belgian Congo. And
wow.
They go into details on how they do everything and getting the evidence. There are special ways of analyzing the metal and what it's made up. So nothing was hidden on this document. It's just what they call a poor original. But you can still understand what they did there. So I'm going to try and get that scanned and put right out there so everybody can see it. It's stamped also with official CIA information and coding and all that. So I just made an argument with them. I wanted information on UFOs because my ex, Ian, was doing a film on UFOs. And also as a contractor with your government guys, and I like also reports on anything with you might have in the CIA, on unusual metal parts or pieces or something like anything like that. So they put that together. I had to get my passport notarized as proof and send off all this information to the CIA, and they said I can either come out there and photocopy everything or they can just box it all up and send it to me. I sent them a check to the Receiver General of the United States, which I guess I took the easy way out and sent a check and got this big box of documents.
Wow.
So I was lucked out on a few of them. A lot of them are blacked out, and some are not.
And what do you learn about it?
Well, obviously, there's a lot of activity out there, and some of these things explode. And Lockheed Martin also knows about the Roswell stuff, because they actually, one of their pilots shot down one of these craft.
Yes.
An email sent to me by Boyd Bushman a couple of years ago.
And do you also feel that thanks to the HARP technology, they can actually penetrate a radar that can see into the ground, and maybe they find new ancient technologies, and that they maybe ask you to do some experiments with ancient technologies?
Who's this government?
No, just in general, that when they discover something like it, that they need people to test the ancient technologies.
Well, they've got a lot of that already. The ancient technologies, they've got a lot of samples of things that they keep hidden away. And these things are being tested, and actually some of them were tested by the National Institute of Discovery and New Sciences. That's now closed, but a lot of those samples were tested there through Colonel Alexander. It was funded by Robert Bigelow, who has an interest in a lot of this stuff too. And he has a ranch in Utah, I believe it's called the Skinwalker Ranch or something like that, where there's supposedly a portal there. And there's a lot of this ancient technology laying around all over the place. Actually, I read about that years ago, but it's actually quite interesting.
In the Raiders of the Lost Ark, if you see that movie, you will see that the energy is that the government knows much more about ancient technologies than they share with the public. And I feel sometimes that you are doing it, you're testing this Lost Ark technology, and you've done it.
Yeah, we've done it with actually www.bluebookfilms.com. My producer over there in the UK, Bruce Burgess, he wanted me to build an Ark of the Covenant, so I said I would be happy to, and we built one that really worked well, and it was one-hour special for Discovery Channel. I don't think it's aired yet, but it did work, with dramatic results of fire and flame shooting out of it and scaring everybody around in the warehouse, including myself.
I saw that movie, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that scared me too a little bit there. I didn't know what was going to happen. It was going to blow up. And oh, that was quite incredible. Now, we were 6 months building that. So our next adventure is the Philadelphia experiment and also a UFO project.
My question is, have you seen the latest development on free energy technology being released, like cold fusion or something similar like fusion? It's not exactly fusion, but that you see through sonoluminescence, you know what it means? I guess you know. Of course you know.
Yes, I saw the bulletins coming out, and what I do sometimes with those bulletins is I'll copy and paste it right into the blogger site. And I have the latest on zero-point energy and the latest on anti-gravity. Also, that one, I don't know if... I think I just got that in the other night. And I'll have to copy and paste and throw that in Blogger. So,
yes.
It's information for people that are learning. I get a lot of emails from kids and folks that are interested in this. And one of the folks very interested in all this was a CEO of the Studebaker Motor Company. He phoned me up.
I have a question. When you see this experiment people do with frequencies, you know, and altering water with frequencies, and they actually produce light, and that's even hotter than the sun, they claim.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is it cold fusion or not? But the problem is, when they want to detect the neutrinos, they will not find it. And my question is, maybe it's something else than fusion. Maybe that is something that we don't know what it is.
Well,
understand.
Well, in all of these experiments, actually, and even in crystallization experiments, they always take in consideration zero-point energy, the quantum background fluctuations, as a possible cause and effect in some of these processes. And in some process, for the manufacturer of barium titanate, it can be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because barium titanate is regarded as a self-reactive material, or basically a free energy system. And how I found out, when I went to Japan with some of this material, I had to go through the airlines and through the Airline Safety Commission on this stuff, and they went under barium titanate as a self-reactive material. It has to be put in special containers for shipment. So I made a special container and then brought it to Japan and demonstrated it to the Japanese in 1995 with Dr. Brian O'Leary. And there's a big, big potential for alternative energy and zero-point energy.
Brian O'Leary, he has a wonderful book exploring inner and outer space, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very, you know, when you listen to his lectures, he combines the paranormal and the ufology and physics, and he being from the NASA, and he explained how he changed his behavior from a
yeah,
left side brain attitude towards right side brain attitude.
Yes, he's an amazing person. He got a website, which I put his website up on my blogger too, and he's quite an interesting person. He said he moved to Peru, by the way, and he says if I'm ever in Peru, come down and stay with us.
Oh, wonderful.
He's a real nice fellow, Brian. We had a lot of fun in Japan together doing our stuff, our lectures and that. I got some nice photos, which I have to scan also more of those and put them on Blogger, too. I need a secretary.
Yes.
Any secretaries out there?
I hope there will be more from him, because Brian O'Leary is the bridge between science and people who are having experiences that they cannot explain or have difficulty to cope with, you know?
I think he's a brilliant person for that. He brings it out in a way that does exactly what you say there.
Building bridges, yeah.
He's a yeah, that's for sure. And Brian, I have great respect for Brian.
When you come to think about the future, and they talk about 2012, and that the sun is moving in a kind of alignment with the center of the galaxy,
mm-hmm.
and that will alter our matter. And the question is, what do you think about that hypothesis, that maybe our sun is traveling in a zone like a sinus wave, coming to an alignment with the center of the galaxy, because like a disc-shaped a galaxy that you are not actually in alignment yet, and then when you come exactly in the middle of it, then you have the full spectrum energy from the center of the galaxy towards us. Have you seen this hypothesis, Sealy?
Yes, actually I have. And when I was in Los Angeles in 1999, I went with a physicist on this act also. And it brings in some very interesting aspects of higher vibrations of that, but it interests me, and I think a lot of things might happen. But again, I jump ahead to, what is it, 2029, when there's a gigantic asteroid headed right directly for Earth, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of concerns me a little more, but the only way they can possibly deflect that thing, if it's true it's going to smash into the Earth, is that they have to set up a very advanced battery of atomic bombs out to get out to that thing and blast it to one side. I think they're doing that.
But if the aliens are for real,
mm-hmm,
and they are here, would they not help us? Like, okay, there will be a time in the future that they are acknowledged and that they just as real as you and me are, you know what I mean?
Oh, and with the aliens, I would say...
And that they are acknowledged by the government before that happens, what you described.
It's very important and extremely important that the truth is revealed about all of this technology and whatever alien back-engineered or spacecraft that's out there or hidden away,
mm-hmm,
to be honest about, because... this seems to be like a reality, this 2029 thing. So the aliens, if they see this in happening, they would instantly, of course, deflect it. The ultimate thing would be a major deflector beam, and probably by then all this stuff would... I think all this stuff by then would probably be manufactured and ready to go. From what I'm seeing... indicators of the technologies that's slowly being released to the public and sneaking out into the public domain and building a deflector beam, or even taking this equipment here, and well, they already know about it anyway, so they already built upon it, I'm told. They're already,
yes,
experimenting with it down at the in secret locations, I'm told. But it's an
I want to ask you some personal questions.
Oh, you may go ahead.
It has to do with the last interview that I did with you when you talk about Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
You said you had some weird experiences that you can consider paranormal. As you know, I have had a near-death experience, an out-of-the-body experience, and premonitions and visions of the future that not everybody can comprehend. Even myself, I have sometimes difficulty to cope with this, but my problem is... I don't want to talk about it to people who don't understand. So you have all this self-censorship happening, and I think we live in a time that we must talk about that, because there are people having paranormal experiences that can have an influence on how you perceive reality and maybe attract new experiences because of it. So I wonder what happened in Switzerland that makes it so special that influence your life. Can you talk about that if you want to?
Switzerland?
It would be great.
You're saying about Switzerland?
Yes.
I know people from Switzerland. I don't.
Oh, it was Austria. I'm not. Maybe I'm...
In Austria, or... Oh, I've met a number of people that have actually exactly what you have, and I actually have a lady in Scottsdale, Arizona, who is actually sees UFOs, takes pictures of UFOs, communicates with them, has been abducted, and she's had three near-death experiences, and she also is very gifted and talented, as well as she could be a lawyer, and she used to work at NBC. She kind of looks like Linda Evans. And she's very talented. I've seen these UFOs with her. She's taken many photographs of them. And she lives in a psychic realm. She can detect people's thoughts. And because these kind of people, like yourself and her, perhaps, are quite rare. There's a lot of people that claim things, but actual people that do these things, it's quite amazing. And, wow, I was impressed. And also the same Fox television crew that filmed here went down to actually interview her with all the eight film people. And she, of course, phoned NBC to get the program on that, too, so she helped out a bit with connections there. But truly amazing stuff. Myself, I've encountered these things in Japan. Also a new...
So you yourself have a feeling there's something out there that maybe you're related with or connected with somehow on a certain level?
I think we all are in a way. It's I know there's all kinds of races out there. This is obvious because you can't say Earth is the only inhabited planet in the world. That's the flat Earth people thinking. There's all kinds of life out there, and I feel it's different levels of development, too. There's so many reports and scientific studies on this, and they're finding new planets all the time. And surprises on Mars, they keep finding those. And
yes, by the way, if you study the new footages of pictures of Mars anomalies and Mars mysteries, like strange holes and even Nazca lines, like photographs, have you seen them? The latest development on Mars?
Oh, it's amazing, yes. It's amazing stuff. And my lady down there, she can tune into these things and pick up actual signal information. And then she learned how to get a camera to work to film this stuff. And we actually found the camera in Fountain Hills. It was just laying there, a Canon camera, very expensive thing, just laying on a park bench in the middle of the night.
Wow.
Not damaged, nothing wrong with it, and it's just like somebody left it there for us to find, and we waited around, looked around, and nobody around in the park. And so she used it then to, instead of seeing these things, she used them, this camera, to pick up, I think she's got about 500 or 800 images of UFOs. You've heard of the famous Phoenix Lights. Well, I saw one of those things when I was down there, and it was flying without sound right across the building. I didn't have the camera with me, but I was impressed. A lot of people down there have seen these famous Phoenix Lights, and even the governor himself, so it's quite a thing. And then it's really incredible photographs that Hulla take. Her website's www.angelsofmary.com. And if you go to that website, you see exactly what she does in regards to her insights and wisdom in that.
And do you think that part of the UFO encounters are maybe UFO itself as an entity, for instance?
I think more in... yes, actually, I would. I think that on evolution, eventually, if we were to evolve ourselves, we'd eventually understand so much about the universe that we would no longer need to have these bodies. Basically, we'd just be energy entities.
I call it interdimensionals. I like that name.
I do too, and there's so much evidence coming out on mainstream media about interdimensional. What we thought, if you think positive thoughts, that goes into other dimensions. And they hit... Discovery Channel has been airing many shows on that recently.
Yes, and if I have to compare Discovery with History Channel, I must say that History is doing a good job of talking about UFOs and everything related to ufology and anti-gravity.
Oh, that's a lot of stuff happening in Hollywood. My friend Uri Geller, he's got a show coming out called Phenomena. It'll be on, I believe, on NBC or ABC. So in regards to media... All these new shows are coming out, which is a good sign that things are turning around in Hollywood land, because a lot of actors and actresses don't really like what they're putting out there, and they want better production. But it's up to the big production companies like Paramount and others to say, well, this is what the ratings indicate, and this is what people want or like. But these actors and actresses really are not happy with that. So the demand for better... video, better radio is very heavily coming down, and so there's these shows coming up, and Yuri's doing a special on UFOs, and he sent me many emails about it before all of this happened, and I put him up on my blogger, his email. When did he send me that? It was actually months ago, so I put it up with his photographs, and the information he has on the website at that time. And I'm looking back in some of my other emails, he's mentioning many other UFO locations and happenings. So,
how fast is your internet connection?
It's dial-up up here. I had
broadcast. I mean, if you have fast access in the future, you can actually have a webcam, and people can, once a time, you can actually ask everybody to see live what you're doing.
Hey, that'd be cool. Or just give a live demonstration by webcam. That'd be cool, too.
Yes.
I would need...
Because you have the USB 2 webcams. They are higher quality.
Mm-hmm.
And higher resolution. So if you, in the future, have fast access, it would be cool if you have live webcams to show to the people. The technology is not simple, not that difficult to do.
No. And also, a lot of footage I have has never been seen by the public. I've got boxes and boxes of footage that some of it I gave to my producer of Griffin Productions for him. That's www.griffinproductions.com.
Mm-hmm.
And he's upgraded to high definition for the Discovery Channel's requirements of the footage, and he keeps selling footage to Japanese people or people that want footage, or NBC and ABC and all those guys. And
but do you know how to convert VHS tapes into computers? Have you ever done that?
No, but I just...
because I do this all the time. I have experience in that.
Well, I have a friend, this Paul of Impact Motion Pictures, who wants actually for me to sell the footage myself. And he'd show me how and put up a website where people would just buy the footage at the cost of... because Peter gets half in regards to selling the footage, and Paul thinks, well, I should be selling it on my own. But, you know, it's like, gee, I really... Okay, it's okay if Peter sells it. He can find other people that want to buy it. It's just I don't want to be tied down so much to something because I'm kind of over-tapped as I am for many requests from people. In the media stuff, I'll do that as top priority, like with you and the TV people, because that's ongoing and it helps me acquire more connections kind of thing. And to work my way into the network TV show would be fantastic because big budget and would put out there with my partner Ron Milaloni of Ghost Hunters all this interesting technology, and what we wanted to do was actually do a full-scale demonstration of the Philadelphia experiment.
Because there is someone who wants to offer you the opportunity to use a real Navy ship.
Yes, that's true, because I worked on Navy ships right here. Within a 20-minute walk, I worked on 4 warships. And it was the Artificial Reef Society of British Columbia, and they could offer us a ship if they're still available through Crown Assets Disposal. But I think also in the U.S. that with the proper connections.
Yeah, because you have also contact with the Stargate people, I've heard.
Oh, yes. That was fun. That was a lot of fun. They film here. They're only 10 minutes away. They're on Production Way in Burnaby, British Columbia, and they film there. And I was a guest last year on their entire lot and took some photos. Laura took the photos, and I got to meet and see the Star Trek place, and that was, or the Stargate.
Hey. The Stargate project, I think it's part based on truth. I mean, it's kind of funny that there's an episode where you see this very idea that they made a science fiction movie within the science fiction movie talking about a project that is for real, but they eject away to make it more fun, and then in this episode they talk about that they have to make in a science fiction movie to cover it up. It's kind of funny.
No, we... Well, actually, the Stargate, that was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun that day there, and Laura took a lot of photographs and put them on Blogger, too. But with the Ram Group, they were actually going to do a movie, a motion picture called Kingdoms Come, but unfortunately that hasn't happened. Spielberg was to produce it, and something happened there where that didn't happen. I, being part of the team, I wanted to really get involved in this, but it seemed that Gordon Novel kept running into problems, and the scientific team started dropping off from around them. But you have some pretty interesting people on that team. Some of them are, I think, associated with George Bush. Mark Bush, who's into oil and that in Texas, he's part of the team. Pandolfi, I'm trying to think of other names here. Hal Pudoff, Colonel Alexander.
Oh, okay. I forgot to mention for the people who are listening, you can actually call in from Canada. It's toll free from Canada, 888-815-9756.
Hello? Hello, hello.
Okay, I just heard it's not possible to do a phone in now because we have two separate lines. But we will, in the future, have that opportunity that people can phone in. But it is important that if people have questions in the chat room, by the way, I will relay the questions. I will read that. Mm-hmm. You're listening live to John Kudus from the Netherlands on bbsradio.com. Okay, I just talked to the owner of the BBS radio, the mm-hmm. producer. He mentioned that everything will be upgraded, and we have no problems with, but people can phone in the next week. So what I can do is, let's say in a month, I want to do another interview with John Hutchinson, and then people can phone in. It's almost the end of the time. Is there something that you wish to share, John, with the upcoming events that you expect for the future, the coming months, that you can promote for yourself, like this is happening in the coming months?
Well, I'm still hoping for our main Fox television show. I'll be giving some more demonstrations to other film companies here. And I'll probably be going off to Scottsdale, Arizona, or maybe to L.A., we'll have to see. There's a lot of unknown territory that pops up almost every day now.
Are you soon to be in a lecture somewhere, or are you recently, do you have something like I'm only doing with documentary makers, working with them?
Oh, I'm working mostly with TV people and radio people right now, but there's a gentleman, again, Griffin Productions wants to do my life story, so they've been working on that. There's another producer working on that, too. And if they ever...
Are you not afraid that the government will maybe interfere and that some of it will not be broadcasted ever because of the so-called security risks, blah, blah?
Well, not really. I think, you know, I have a lot of supporters in the U.S. Pentagon, I'm told, by Tim Ventura. I put that on the blog spot, his letter, actually. And these guys, you know, they think it's kind of cool. I could work with it. If I worked with them, then I wouldn't be able probably to do all this stuff I'm doing. But
Tim Ventura is a radio interviewer and website owner of AmericanAntiGravity.com.
Yes, Timmy is a good friend of mine. He filmed in here. He had his disclosure of people filming in here also. And it's all up on his website. And Tim's actually going to visit me this Thursday, I believe. And
so that website is AmericanAntiGravity.com.
That's it, yeah.
And there you will be also to be heard, and people can study what you're doing from that website as well.
Exactly. And I think it's important that people take an interest in this technology and because people are creative people, and it seems that a lot of emails I get, I get a lot of questions about certain things I'm doing, and it'd be nice to try and explain it all. I try and do that through the blog site. There are all the different sections on there and what's going on in my life. It gets pretty rambunctious, and a bit of a fight happened there with my producer and myself about Paris Hilton being the host of the show, and I said, no, don't go there. Don't turn it into that kind of a program.
I think you're kind of believing in the innocence of everybody, I guess.
I don't know. I tend to. I don't put energy into it. Whatever happens, happens. But I just don't want people throwing rocks at me and other things. Because really, to be honest, I have not. I'm not claiming anything. I'm saying I'm not the owner, really, of this technology. I don't go for patents. I don't play secretive or anything like that. And it's open to anybody that wants to have fun. And I don't proclaim to be a scientist and know-it-all, really. I just like to have fun and do the best I can with it. Some people get upset over that aspect of that I should take notes and be more serious about my research, but I don't care about that.
As long as I know you, I never find anything that you have an hidden agenda. You just be and have fun.
Well, that's,
that's it.
Yeah, why stress out over stuff? Not worth it.
Yes, I will mention your Blogspot website. It's like a something different, because first I promoted your forum,
mm-hmm.
where you were involved, but the forum is shut down.
Yes.
So now people can reach you through this blogspot.com, and that is johnkhutchinson.blogspot.com.
Or simply Google out Waiting on the Edge of Forever, and that's the title of the main blogger, and on that main blogger is sub-bloggers of about 30 of them on different topics in there. So people will be interested in all the documentation I've got there from the government, as well as secret stuff and UFO stuff and names of people that are involved in some of the black ops stuff.
But I don't know if it's possible, but I can lobby for you that
mm-hmm.
you will be, also in. I will be in September 2008. I will be in the UFO Expo Area Bay in California. I will give a lecture there. I've been invited to speak there.
Oh, fantastic.
And maybe I can lobby that you also give a presentation. That would be cool. I can meet you finally in person.
Well, that'd be fantastic. I would present a good demonstration via video, via documents, and by metal samples.
Yes. You know what I do? I'm going to lobby for you. I'm going to talk to the organizer of that conference for next year,
mm-hmm.
and then I can meet you in person.
I look forward to that.
Okay. Thank you so much, John, for being a part of BBSRadio.com and 12 Mysteries Out of Quarantine every Saturday. And I'm so happy that you did this, and I wish you all the success and great opportunities to show the world what you can do with influencing time, space, anti-gravity, free energy. It's wonderful what you do.
Well, I just hope that people use it and use it for the benefit of this Earth.
Yes.
Help offset global warming for sure.
Okay, and in the future, I hope to have you on the show again, and that people can interact and ask live questions through the phone with the new upgraded system of BBSRadio.com.
Fantastic. I look forward to that time.
Okay, have a good weekend, and see you next time.
I look forward to it.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, people, I hope you enjoyed the information, and see you next week. My name is John Kulis from the Netherlands on BBSRadio.com every Saturday. Bye-bye.